Hey guys, before we jump in today's episode, I wanted to remind you of two important things. One, we just released our first book, Daniel Fast, Why You Should Only Do It Once. If you want to use the Daniel Fast to get your health in check, go ahead and pick up your copy. You can go to healthyformypurpose.com or go to where any books are sold, like Amazon. The other thing is we are so excited that the Healthy Christian Woman Bootcamp doors are open again. We are now selling seats. So you can go to healthyformypurpose.com. The next one is going to be January 8th to the 12th. You don't want to miss this powerful 5-day virtual event that will change your life. That's it for now. Let's get to the episode. Do you believe that God wants you healthy? Then join me, Cersei Blue and Gigi Carter on the Healthy for My Purpose podcast, where we help you realize the relationship between your health and your purpose. We share how eating like Daniel can revolutionize your life. Through discussions and interviews, we challenge you to discover the powerful connection between plant-based nutrition, your body, and your faith. It's time. Hey guys, I'm so excited about this episode. We sat down with a great friend, an awesome guy, Shane Martin. Many of you know him from the wonderful website and recipe blog, Shane and Simple. We sit down with him and just really talk about his journey and how plants, eating plants as a man, has changed his life. So it's refreshing. It's funny. And you're really going to enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's jump in with the wonderful Shane Martin. All right. Welcome to Healthy for My Purpose. We are here with the amazing Shane Martin and from Shane and Simple.
Oh, my goodness. You did not just have a sound effect, Shane.
Podcast. Nice. He brought his own audience with you guys. So he came all equipped with his own fan base, and so we just heard them in the back there. But welcome, Shane. We're so happy to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I needed this, to be honest with you. Y'all are like two of my favorite people, and my mind is kind of fried after the past couple of months and the last weekend. So this is like a balm for my soul. So.
Oh, good. Little therapy session for you, Shane.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Shane, you and I have known each other for a while now. I'm trying to think like how long. I think we met in 2015. I think we tried to figure this out before 2014 or 2014. Maybe even.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it was 2014 was when I moved to Jackson, and we met through Matthew and Alyssa. And did an event with them, and so it's been almost 10 years. Golly, 10 years.
I know. Isn't that wild? Time goes by so quick.
Yeah, it's crazy. Awesome. But what's interesting is we always talk about how much our journeys paralleled from the standpoint of we were both in jobs that, that we were maybe hoping to, maybe didn't even see ourselves transitioning out of. And then when you and I caught back up, you were going back to school and I was starting the blog. And then it's just been, that's the thing that always intrigues me is just how much our stories parallel.
So, similar path. And so, for those that don't know your story, because we have a lot of people in our group who may not know you. And I thought, we could just kick off with that. Just kind of take us back to your plant-based journey. How did it all start?
Yeah. So didn't grow up overweight, didn't grow up unhealthy, I guess, from what the, the more modern or whatever's considered healthy. I wasn't considered unhealthy. But grew up in the South, Mississippi, grew up playing sports, very active, and then got out of college, moved to Nashville, and just started gaining weight because I got lazy. And When I moved to Nashville, I think I weighed 189 pounds, and that was back in 93. And by the time I got married, which was 6 years later, so I was 26, I weighed 240 pounds and just continued to gain more weight. And then about 2 weeks before my 40th birthday, in 2013, I tipped the scales at about 300 pounds, a little more. And, you know, was had all the things that come along with being obese and overweight. I was had type 2 diabetes, extremely high blood pressure. Cholesterol was through the roof. I think my cholesterol was over 400 or something like that. And fatty liver. I mean, just I was a walking disaster show. And I reached out. I'd done like everybody does: keto, paleo, Atkins, counting fat grams. You know, that starving, you know, that kind of thing, and would always lose weight but gain it back pretty quickly. And reached out to a friend of mine to try to get the number of another friend, because I'd seen he had gotten healthy and lost weight, and he had told me that our mutual friend had gone vegan. And then immediately I was like, nah, not for me, you know, because for me, vegans didn't take baths, walked around with crystals in their pockets, ate grass and bark, you know, that kind of thing. But he said, no, go watch Forks Over Knives. And I feel like that's kind of the entry show for a lot of us that have moved over to being plant-based. And so it was like 2 weeks before my 40th birthday, my wife and I sat down and watched it, and I just kind of went cold turkey, so to speak, no pun intended, the next day. And just really, sorry about that, realized that I could eat and get healthy, which I loved. And so I immediately did that. And I think in the first 3 months, I lost 55 pounds and had my physical for the first time in a long time. And just my cholesterol had gone from over 400 to 199. My blood pressure dropped from like 153 over 106. It was like 126 over 79. And there was no sign of diabetes in my system at all. I mean, everything looked great. And so I think for me, that was kind of the turning point, because I had told myself, if this doesn't work, there's no way I'll stick with this. And when I saw the results, I was like, oh my, this is real. Like, I'm a walking test case, you know, I'm walking evidence. And I guess that's maybe not fair to say that I wouldn't have stuck with it. I mean, I felt better than I had ever felt. And that was a huge change, because I wasn't hungry, which is the thing that I noticed from when you diet, you know, you're depriving yourself. And so that was the thing for me. It didn't feel like deprivation. If I was hungry, I ate. It was just, I realized my body knew what to do with the right thing. So that's kind of the 30,000 foot view. And then that was 10 and a half years ago. So, and then I think kind of like you just, with things that change your life, you become passionate about. And so I started the blog back in 2017, but it was just kind of a way to provide recipe. Well, and it was actually, I started a couple of years before that, just to kind of provide recipes for family members and friends asking what I was doing. But it just kind of grew more into like, oh, I hear you can make money doing this. I never thought it would be my job. And then in 2019, we made the decision to go full time with it. And fortunately, it's worked out. So I've been doing that since, you know, 2019. And then 2020 was my first full year as a full time blogger. And then COVID hit, and that was great. So
you, Shane, you have a big family. You could tell us about your family, but what happened to the people around you? Tell us from their perspective, how did your family evolve when this happened to you?
Yeah, I think that is a great question. And because I feel like so many of these questions always come, how did your life change? And you're like probably the first y'all are probably the first ones that have asked that question, like, how did it affect those around you? And it changed everything. You know, I have 5 kids, and my oldest just graduated college, and my second oldest is in college, and I've got 2 in high school and 1 junior high. But at the time, they were all, my oldest was like 11, and so my son was like 9, and then I had, you know, my littles. And I think what it did, my wife says it best, I feel like it made them feel secure. Because I wasn't just overweight. It was obvious my whole family was worried about me. Like, I mean, I had sleep apnea, and my wife would just wake up at night because I snored so bad, but she would have to move me because she would notice that I would stop breathing, which is what happens during sleep apnea. And I think one of the things I noticed is I had taken a nap one Sunday afternoon, like when I was well into my journey being plant, but maybe 7-8 months into it. And it was a Sunday afternoon. I was laying down taking a nap, and I was on that verge of just waking up and kind of coming out of it, but still had my eyes closed and I could hear. And my next to youngest daughter, Mackenzie, I think she was probably 5 or 6 at the time. And she said, "Mommy, Daddy don't snore no more. And I don't hear him breathe anymore." And meaning I wasn't, you know, when I slept, like it didn't seem like a chore to breathe. And I think for me, this, it made them secure. It definitely changed how we ate in the house. But it was a lot easier to get them on board, just because they'd seen that, they looked at it as like, we're doing this to save Daddy. And so, but I would say security is the biggest impact that it had on our immediate family. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's the word that sums it up, security.
Yeah. You know, Shane, you are very vocal in terms of being a believer and a Christian man. How has your faith kind of intersected with your decision to take charge of your health and adopt this whole food plant-based lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a good question, because you know, it was funny. I was having this very conversation with Dr. Milton Mills this past weekend. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's from the game What the Health, and I think the Game Changers, and just dear man, absolutely just got to sit down and talk. And we were kind of talking about this idea of how our lifestyle and our beliefs kind of intersect, and how does that happen? You know, I think for me, I was in ministry for 15 years, and I was in ministry before I got healthy. And I think what I saw for me, I think there's 2 sides to that coin. One, I see a part of me that was just incredibly apprehensive to this idea of being vegan or plant-based, because there are so many caricatures and stereotypes and falsehoods attached to those terms. It's, you know, there seems like there has to be this debate between, is it science or is it God? And I'm like, well, if you believe in God, you believe he created science and intellect. And, you know, and then you've got the other component as, are you conservative or liberal now? You know, and it's, and it, and I think for me, that's what I loved about Forks Over Knives, is it just went to the heart of the matter. And it was like, before you can think about taking care of your environment and the planet, you better take care of yourself. And I think for me, how it enhanced me and how it played into who I was being in ministry, I started realizing that ministers are some of the most unhealthy people in the church. And it's like, I asked people, do you want to go to a 350-pound doctor that's telling you how to get better? Well, in the same way, do you want to hear a sermon from a 400-pound pastor that obviously can't exercise self-control? And so, and I'm not saying that's everybody. We know that there are people that have genetic dispositions to some of being heavier. So I'm not trying to fat shame or anything like that. But I'm saying for me as a Christian, for me, it enhanced a lot of what I do. It made it, I had more energy. I felt like I could focus more. So from studying and reading, I didn't have my tired spells. I didn't have, I think it just enhanced everything. And I think from a spiritual perspective, you know, I think going back to the garden, you know, it's kind of how we were intended to eat. You know, there wasn't supposed to be bloodshed. And so the only reason that bloodshed entered the world is because sin entered the world. And so, you know, we see the first example of blood being shed because it was the response to sin to cover nakedness. So God had to kill one of his creations to clothe sin, in a sense, you know. And so I think for me, it's like, I don't want to get on and just tell everybody, oh, if you go eat this hamburger, you're sinning and you're going to go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that, you know, it really made me realize there's just something pure about it. And there's just something, I think it represents abundance, because I feel like everywhere you turn, you know, there's just this idea of growth and vegetation and just the imagery of the garden, and just that's where perfection rested, you know? And so, you know, I think for me, I felt like it kind of helped me bridge people, because I didn't fit the mold of what people thought a vegan was, you know? And so I think for that, number one, being a guy that played sports, you know, which that's way more common now. It's not kind of the proverbial square peg in a round hole, I think for me, it brought a lot of awareness, because I realized when I first told people I had gone plant-based, and I just started using the word vegan because it was a much more understandable term, I was kind of a loner. There wasn't, especially one, I'm in the South, and then two, I'm working in a church, and you know, and you definitely are getting comments like, oh, you're one of those now. And they don't just mean, oh, you don't eat meat. Oh, you're going to go protest zoos. You're going to start, you know, it's just funny how the political nature gets brought into it. And I'm just like, and so for me, it just goes, okay, we got work to do, because, you know, it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change my character, but it for me, I feel like it enhanced everything. And I don't know. I've never shamed people I don't go to barbecues and shame people or anything like that, because, you know, you win more flies, quote unquote, with honey than you do vinegar, kind of thing. But I don't know. I just felt like the only way I know to describe it, when I was talking to Milton this past weekend, I just feel like it brings an awareness of things, you know, because you know, we were told to, and this is one of the responses I got a lot, was, well, what do you think about where we're told that we're supposed to have dominion over the earth? And I'm like, yes, we are told to to take care of it, nurture it. We weren't told to rape and pillage. And so that's what we've done. And it's one thing to eat out of necessity, which we should do, whether we are eating meat or plants or whatever. It's another thing. I think it's detrimental what we've done, and for the sake of industry, of where, you know, it's just, especially here in America, I think what it did was it woke me up to, we are just a nation of waste and abundance and gluttony and just, what's the word? Just overexertion, you know, just investing and just, it's not about just enough. It's about how much can I get? And so, So I just feel like what it did was it just enhanced and enlightened a lot of things. And I don't mean enlightened like, oh, I'm connecting with the Star Crab Nebulae now. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, it just made me think about things, you know, when you're taking into your body and you're concerned about what goes into your body, you know, you're looking at how was it produced and where did it come from? And I think, you know, when it comes to things like factory farming and things, it's like you just can't make a case that justifies any of that from what we're doing. So, but from a spiritual perspective, you know, I think it just enhanced everything for me. You know, it made me want to help people more. Mm-hmm. It gave me a passion for people more. I think that was one of that would probably be with everything I've just said. I think one of the ways that it just really affected me is it almost reignited a passion to speak into people's lives that was kind of flickering, you know, because I'd been doing ministry so long. And then there's some, because, you know, a lot of people get burned out in the church and because you're just, and I'm one, I went in thinking, oh, it's going to be the best job I ever had. It's cush. And I go, I talk to people, I lead worship, and then I go home. And then I'm going, oh man, the weight that you carry emotionally. And that's the other thing, the weight that you carry emotionally and spiritually, then that goes into weighing on you physically and stress levels. And so for me, getting healthy, exercising, it helped me. And I can't believe I didn't bring that up at first. That was one of the biggest ways I saw that it helped was it helped me with the stress levels. It helped me focus more. It helped me deal with the emotional and the spiritual side of things much better than it did when I was extremely unhealthy and lethargic and not feeling well. And so there was no area that it didn't touch, and it only served to enhance what I did. It never prohibited it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you experienced, I know what Cersei and I have talked about, we experienced is that mental and spiritual clarity that, you know, you just don't get when you're eating a bad diet. You know, you just don't have it. And you don't know you don't have it until you get out of that place where you're eating those pro-inflammatory toxic foods. And then it's, you know, Cersei's described it as, it was like the heavens opened and I could, you know.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. I mean, seriously, that's what it was like. Like the heavens opened and the skies parted. And I mean, it just was, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, it really, really was amazing. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I guess in essence, you became more healthy for your purpose, right?
So. Yeah. I think, yeah.
But
wow, way to get that in there.
Yeah, got it in there.
No, but I think that's true though. I mean, it's, you know, it helps you do what you're called to do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? So true. So, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, just how it kind of helped you to be a bridge. You know, a lot of times when people associate, you know, manhood and things like that, a lot of times it's associated with, you know, you're having that steak and potatoes and, you know, all that machoism that's kind of surrounded around food subliminally that we've kind of been, you know, taught through whatever.
Right.
Talk about, you have your show that Real Men Eat Plants, if that's correct. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you're reshaping that narrative about men and what it means to be a real man, and eating plants is beneficial for men.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's really interesting is, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, one of the things I feel like we've been doing with the whole podcast, The Real Men Eat Plants, is where we're going is, you know, what is it about this podcast that's going to be different than every other dude that does a podcast that's vegan now? Because you've got the guys like the Robert Cheeks and the Jeff Palmers, and we know, like, the protein debate is just not a debate anymore. Like, we know that it's a red herring. So it's like, we don't want to do the protein thing. Like, it's been done to death. You know, there are no protein deficiency wards in the hospital. We know that there's vegan bodybuilders. So we started talking, and it's like, if a guy is centering his manhood around the size of the steak that's on his plate, he's compensating for something else. And that does not determine your manhood. And so one of the things we kind of talked about was, this is why I think it's not just about food. It's not just about losing weight. This is why I say, for me, what I saw internally going on a plant-based diet, how it even enhanced me as a man. And what I mean by that is, anyone can join the crowd at a cookout and eat a steak. But it's going to take a real man to walk up and go, I'm just going to have the baked potato and the salad. Or, hey, I brought a block of smoked tofu. Can you throw that on the grill for me? You know? And so, but I think my partner and co-host, Dr. Richmond McCarty, when we started kind of driving down, like, what is it that we're going to do and what is it we're going to talk about that's going to be different than every other plant-based podcast? And I think what we've talked about and come to understand that guys, their apprehension is, I don't think the apprehension of is, I'm just not going to eat the plants. You know, I think it feeds into other things of what culture says a man is. And a real man takes care of his kids. A real man is able to be transparent and vulnerable and authentic. And when you see men that bring those qualities to the table, that is a man that's confident internally. And it helps you to move towards making those decisions. And a plant-based diet is, I feel like, can be part of that. And so we are, and how we're connecting all this is, like, basically, dudes, get in the kitchen and cook for your wives. Like, go make them a plant-based meal. You know, show your kids that you're trying to take care of them. And that's what we did with our kids, is like when we were trying to get them on board, like when we started taking the gummy bears and the candy bars out of the, you know, out of the pantry, you know, one of the things was, hey, daddy's doing this to take care of himself, but if it's beneficial for daddy and helps him, why wouldn't I want to do this for you? You know? And so that for me was just like, that's why I said going and moving towards a plant powered lifestyle or a plant-based lifestyle, it's not one dimensional. It affects all these parameters and that we walk in daily. And I think what we want to do with the podcast is really move into the emotional for men and move into the family aspect and how it impacts those that you love most around you and how it can bring more security. And that's what real men do. They step up to the plate and they tackle those issues. And you know, when you bring that up, Cersei, it reminds me of, a quote that I read, I think it was by, Pat Conroy, the author. And when Dr. Rich and I were talking about doing the podcast and what direction we were going to go in, I read this quote to him and I was going to read it to y'all just because I think it goes right with your question, with what you just asked me. It says, American men are allotted just as many tears as American women, but because we are forbidden to shed them, we die long before women do, with our hearts exploding or our blood pressure rising or our lives eaten away by alcohol, because that lake of grief inside of us has no outlet. We men die because our faces were not watered enough. And I just thought, that is what, as men, we need to be talking about. Like, and how does a plant-based diet go into that? Well, are you bold enough to just say, I'm going to walk away from vices that have harmed me? The meat, the butter, the dairy, the cheeses that I've gorged on that have, you know, that are destroying me internally. Am I saying that those around me are important enough to lay down what I want to hold on to? And at the end of the day, hold on to it if you want, but don't say it makes your life better, because it doesn't. I mean, from a health perspective, we know scientifically that it doesn't. And I would say that I'm not even advocating that men do what I did. I think it's better to just go cold turkey. I've said that. But I think when we're pushing the movement and we're trying to get people on board, if you can just change your thinking, instead of eating the big steak with a little baked potato and a little side of broccoli, eat a third of that and then make your whole plate the broccoli and the potatoes and fill up on that, you know, and I'll take that as a win all day long. I'll take it as a win all day long. If we can change the portion, you know, and changing the way that we think about food. But I think that is where we're trying to go with men is, you know, why wouldn't you do this? If you thought it could enhance your life and bring more security to family, why wouldn't you do it? And so that's why I say, again, it doesn't have this one dimensional affect. It affects, it's peripheral, and it, the way that it flows out and everything that it touches.
Yeah, that's super powerful, Shane. You know, I love how you just brought it home, you know, that are we saying that this is more important than these other things and these other people, quite frankly. You don't think about that consciously, but that, you know, when you look at the actions that are being taken relative to the consequences and who's affected, that's absolutely the case.
I think too, it's like, do you want to spend your life in your 50s and your 60s on statins and, you know, diabetes medication, on insulin? And we know those aren't drugs that heal you from those things. They just control your symptoms. And so for me, and I'll just say it, a real man is a guy that's going to figure out what the problem is and he's going to fix it, mm-hmm. even though it might make him a little uncomfortable. Men are not doing things because they don't want to be inconvenienced. That's what it is. And I can say that as a man, because that's where I was. That was going to be inconvenient. I'm going to have to learn how to cook a new way. I'm going to have to buy certain groceries. I can't run through McDonald's anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. But I tell people this: love and care for your family and your friends. Love is not about being efficient or convenient all the time. It's hard to love sometimes. And sometimes that means letting go of things we want to hold on to. Love is not always efficient. And so we have this idea that it should just be easy all the time, and it's not. And it requires, it's like why Jesus said, come and die. He didn't mean just literally die right there. He meant die to self-determination, die to always wanting to do it your way. And we have forgotten that as human beings, whether you're a Christian or not. Real love exists. Real love does not exist without sacrifice, and neither does health. So, I mean, everybody's got to sacrifice something.
Okay, TJ, I thought you had a thought. You were gonna. Did she freeze? Okay, you're on mute. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I thought you had a thought. You were gonna stay.
You can go ahead. I keep talking.
Okay, no, I mean that's powerful.
She was pulling a Mitch McConnell on us.
Oh, come on.
Oh, God, that was terrible. Oh, everybody's gonna write in and go, oh, he's McConnell shaming now.
Yeah. That's powerful, because I think what you've done is that you've moved so far beyond the plate, Shane, that as a man watching this, it just realizes that getting healthy has so many more facets to it, right? It's really not just about the steak and potatoes. It's about your family, your community, your values, all of those things that you are manning up by not eating the meat, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was really, really powerful. And I think a lot of men listening to this, hearing it from a male's perspective, I think is going to be beneficial, because I think a lot of times when male are hearing women speak about their journey and how they work, it's like, okay, women could do this, but what about from a male's perspective? So I'm always intrigued when I hear men speak of it from their perspective, because let's face it, you know, we talk a lot about emotional eating, and women connect with that. But like you said, sometimes the food is masking things for men too. And when you pull those foods away and you have to, like you said, deal with your own emotions and deal with your own stressors and all these things straight up and find other ways, that also can be impactful too. So,
yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, and I don't want men to hear me saying, oh, we got to put our manliness aside. And that's not what we're supposed to do. I mean, you know, I like to say it like this. It's like we were created very intentionally. And I always say, you know, it's like, I don't know if you remember the Seinfeld episode where, not to go TMI or too deep, but I love Seinfeld. And Jerry is dating this woman who walks around with no clothes on all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if y'all remember this. And he's like, and George goes, well, that's a dream. And he goes, not really. You know, it's like when she's buffing the floor or fixing the chain mm-hmm. on a bicycle. And Jerry says, well, the way I'll get her to stop is I'll do the same thing. And it has the complete opposite effect that he thought it did. And he feels shame. And he's telling Elaine about it at the diner the next day. And Elaine goes, oh, wait a minute. You took your clothes off. She goes, no. That is not a good look for a man. And he goes, why not? And Elaine goes, well, a woman's body is a work of art. It has curves. You know, it's delicate. A man is like utilitarian. He's like a tank. You know, it's just for getting around, you know, that kind of thing. My point is, I'm not trying to go in the gutter here, but my point is, it's like, yeah, there's a reason we try to guard our emotions sometimes. And there are reasons that we try to be strong in front of our wives. One, we want to impress our wives. We want to impress, you know, that's kind of how we're made. We want our wives to look at us and go, oh, that's my man, you know, that kind of thing. But we also kind of have this nature of, you know, they say, you know, to go out, grab something, kill it and bring it home. There's this idea of I'm the one that's got to support my family. I've got the one that's got to do this. And so we can be guarded. Mm-hmm. So, but it doesn't mean that we get rid of those things. It's like Jordan Peterson said, he said, a good man is not a man that's not dangerous. A good man is a dangerous man that has that dangerousness under control. And at first, when I first heard that, I went, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. It means that at the right time, he's willing to become the dangerous man to take care of the ones closest to him to prevent the evil from getting to the ones he loves the most. Mm-hmm. But that danger that's left unchecked destroys everything.
Oh, yeah.
And that danger can come in as not being willing to be open and vulnerable and transparent, mm-hmm. because then what does it do? It's like Pat Conroy said, it shuts us down. We harden, you know, we struggle. A lot of men are given over to alcoholism because I'm not good enough. I'm not living up to my potential. Mm-hmm. I'm not achieved enough in life. And instead of realizing, hey, where you are, man, embrace your lot, mm-hmm. like recognize the moment that you're in. It's like, do y'all watch The Office? Have y'all ever seen The Office? You know, that's my favorite show. Rainn Wilson, that plays Dwight Schrute, is just, I think it's one of the best characters in sitcom. Andre and I were actually talking about this last night when I got home from Nebraska. And she said, because I was thinking about this while I was in Nebraska, she said that they were interviewing him. And she said, while he was doing The Office, he didn't get hardly any roles in movies or anything because he was typecast as Dwight Schrute. And that's how everyone saw him. And he said he spent almost most of his time on The Office being pissed off at the world because he wasn't getting cast in movies and seeing his star go up, so to speak. And then he said, after he got out of The Office and just had time to reflect, he goes, I cannot believe I was that ungrateful. Mm-hmm. He said, I was part of something huge and wonderful that made the world laugh, but all I did was complain in the moment. And I think that is so telling. And I feel like as I've gotten older, what I've tried to do is instead of do that, like try to recognize, it's like Andy Bernard said, if there was a way to know that you're in the good old days before you left them, you know, and I think that as men, you know, I mean, those are the things that we can endanger ourselves to, is not recognizing the good moments and not doing the things to take care of our families and stepping up and in a sense, warding off the food evil that's coming through the doors, you know, and being willing to stand up and not be afraid to go, well, I'm a conservative, but people think I'm a liberal if I do this. At some point, it's just about, are we going to do what's right? and be willing to take the arrows of false mm-hmm. narratives and stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And I am now, you know, and so, and a real friend is going to stick by you. Your family's going to stick by you. So at the end of the day, I mean, is there really anything else, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So just from a day-to-day perspective, Shane, as people are listening to this, what can you describe what you eat in a typical day? Everybody wants to know this stuff. So
I know, but it's funny. I get this question all the time, and it's like I have to think, go, I don't even remember what I ate 2 days ago. So because, you know, I'm one of these. I don't meal prep. I don't. Everybody goes, your pictures. You must really keep the fridge stacked and packed. And I go, man, I'm going to the grocery store 4 times a week. You know, typically through the week, I still do what I pretty much have always done. Through the week, I'm pretty boring from a food perspective, just because, you know, with the blog being my job. So what I mean is I like through the week when kids are in school and Andrea's working in the house and I'm in the house, I want things to be efficient. I want them to be healthy, but I want them to be efficient and very low in effort, you know? So typically breakfast, is very simple. It's like a bowl of oats with berries. And, you know, if I have chia seeds or flaxseed, I'll throw that in there. Maybe some walnuts. Always 1 to 2 bananas chopped up with the berries. I love bananas. And I'll just kind of hose it down with like almond milk or oat milk. And so I eat it like, I don't like cooking oats anymore. I love raw oats. I love to eat oats raw. So I'll typically do a bowl like that. And so that's usually for breakfast, unless it's a run. If I'm running in the morning or working out in the morning, I typically will skip breakfast because I don't like to work out with something on my stomach. So there are times what I'll do is I will occasionally do like a protein smoothie or something just to have some energy going into the workout. But I will say I drink coffee. I drink it black. I'm not giving up my coffee. I think there's enough studies to show that it has some medicinal purposes. And now I'm not like a coffeeholic where I drink it 8-9 times a day. I have a cup in the morning. And then 2:30, 3 o'clock, my wife and I shut down work for about 45 minutes, make us a small cup apiece, watch an episode we've been binging, and then we go back to work. But it's our way of shutting down the afternoon. And so that's the morning. Lunch, I mean, sometimes I'll go in and make a quick salad, throw it in a bowl. We always keep rice in the fridge. And, you know, we typically, we have tons of no salt added chickpeas and black beans. So lunch is always very simple. It's usually, we just call them Chipotle bowls. So it's usually just some rice with black beans and lettuce and cilantro, salsa, refried beans. If we have them, we'll throw those in there. You know, we always keep 1 or 2 cans of corn open in the fridge because we'll eat them through a couple of days, so we can sprinkle that on there. And so that's really it. I mean, so it's pretty much that, it's that simple. Dinner, when the girls are playing soccer and we're kind of all rushing out, I mean, a lot of times, to be honest with you, it might be something like hummus and veggie sandwiches, like everybody just kind of grab and go do your thing. Wednesday nights typically is when everybody's home, because, you know, here in the Deep South, a lot of the churches treat Wednesday night like the Sabbath. So nobody goes to church on, you know, nobody does anything on a Wednesday night. And, so we'll typically that's a lot of times I'll cook like a real dinner and we'll sit down because they don't have anything on Wednesday night. And then if we do that, I'm usually making like a, lentil shepherd's pie, or, we'll do, the buffalo chickpea casserole that's on my website, that we've been doing that a lot lately. That's just really, really good. And for, I'm so thankful. All my kids love spicy foods. So we'll do that. So pretty simple through the week. The weekends we get a little more adventurous. That's when I say, you know, we cook the special recipe. So Saturday mornings are usually always pancake day. So usually doing like, and I'll vary it up. I'll do chocolate chip peanut butter pancakes. I'll do banana pancakes, blueberry pancakes. I try, if I get enough if I can get ahead on the week, I will, you know, slice up some tofu to marinate. So we have tofu bacon, or make my sausage patties, you know. Sometimes it's as simple as making our tofu scramble, and I'll make some of my cashew cream cheese, and we'll do bagels and tofu scramble, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a little more, I don't want to say adventurous. It's a little more involved, the meals. Lunch on the weekends, on Saturdays especially, we're all kind of going and doing things. Andre and I are working around the house or something. So it's kind of a grab and go, or we may make a thing of hummus and just everybody kind of nibble, you know, that kind of thing. But dinner is usually like, you know, I may make a seitan roast and potatoes and, you know, that kind of thing. Or we'll do like a meatloaf, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, you know, really try to, I'll spend a couple of hours in the kitchen cooking, because I mean, it's my happy place. So, and then Sundays, we, you know, we're trying to get out the door to go to church. And so breakfast is usually non-existent, because we're always running late. So, but then we'll come home, and, you know, one of our favorite Sunday things to do is we get, hoagie rolls, and we just do like a veggie sandwich bar, and we do veggie subs. And I mean, I'll do like my vegan Mississippi comeback sauce, or, you know, the mayo I make or something like that. And we'll almost do like Italian chop subs with just veggies, and, you know, with the olives, and just pile it in and toast them. And I mean, we love doing that. So subs are a big thing. So we'll, you know, we'll do that. And then sometimes Sunday night, I may make like the seitan ribs, and we'll do like or the jackfruit barbecue. I'll make potato salad, and it's, you know, the typical Southern fare of baked beans, potato salad, and barbecue, you know. And so, but weekends is where we tend to get a little more involved with the cooking. But through the week, it's usually really, really simple. And that's what I like to tell people too. Like, if you're trying to get into this way of eating, the biggest mistake people make is trying to get too complicated too quickly. And, you know, they're like, go buy rice, go buy beans, go buy some whole grains, and start there. And like, eat the same thing for breakfast every day, Monday through Friday. Save the weekends for checking out recipes and cooking and experimenting. Don't do that through the week, because you don't have time, you know. And so I like to say, variety is not always the spice of life.
That's good. That was extensive, Shane. That's why it's Shane and Simple. Wow, that's amazing. It just, you know, you kind of just made it show how easy it is to eat this way, but not only that, and to have those pockets of times where you can, you know, deep dive into deeper recipes and things like that. But you mentioned something about the hoagie rolls. What's going on with this cookbook? You're making our spread. Let's talk a little bit about that.
PTSD. No. I'm going to put this on, because are y'all muting like in between conversation?
So a little bit, but we can turn it on. It's okay. No,
it's fine. It's because it's like, I'll see you laugh, and I don't hear anything.
Are they laughing, or are they faking it?
Yeah. Hold on a second. So I'm going to go, PTSD. Ah, no, wait a minute. There we go.
Oh my God. You and your specs. Is that like a separate system, or is that on your computer, or what?
No, it is. So it's my Rode Podcaster. It's the, it's specifically for doing podcasts, and it has these little sound banks. It's like, Gigi, how you feel today? Oh, Shane, I'm sad. You know, you do that, or you go, don't eat meat, it'll kill you. So anyway, or Shane, that wasn't very funny. crickets.
Crickets,
you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I apologize. So, no, anyway, so yeah, the book that has been, which I don't know why I have to tell you all this. Y'all probably wrote your book in like what, 3 days, just because y'all are like pros.
But recipe making book is a total, like a cookbook is a totally thing, because you're doing the photography.
It took us almost a year, right, Cersei?
Yeah,
it was almost a year, but we had been thinking about it for a while too. But what's the name of your book, Shane? What's the title? So
it's going to be called Baking Vegan Bread at Home. So I always feel like I have to give a little bit of perspective on this book, because, you know, when you write a book, you get your agent, or you come up with the idea, and then you shop it to a publisher, and then, you know, and you write the book that you want to write. You know, you come up with the idea, and that's what you do. I've been wanting to write a book forever. I mean, it's just, I'm one of those that just, you know, I'm the visionary. I know what I want to write about, and I know what I want it to look like, but okay, Shane, start. I have no clue where to begin. You know, it's that kind of thing. And so, so back in February, I got an email, and I think it's pretty common from most bloggers that I talk to that once you start, you know, you get enough followers and you're kind of out there, you're getting all kinds of offers like, hey, we'll do a book for blah, 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 blah. Or we want to put this art, you know, this kind of thing. And you kind of have to filter through the crap, you know, like what's real, what's not, that kind of thing. And so anyway, back at the end of February of this year, I got an email and says, hey, Shane, my name's Dan. I'm one of the editors, blah, 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 with Harvard Common Press, Division of Court, you know, all this. And he said, we'd like to talk to you about writing a book. And I thought, oh yeah, this is awesome. But then I was like, yeah, this is another one of those. And, you know, and, so anyway, I didn't respond initially. And when he didn't hear from me for a couple of days, he reached back out and he goes, are you at all interested? He goes, this is legit. We have a budget, blah, 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 blah. You know? And, so I reached out and I said, yes, I'd be interested in talking. So I looked at his name, looked at the whole, started doing my own research, and I went, oh, this is like legit. This is a legit publisher. So anyway, we took a meeting, as they say, and we just talked. But what was unusual about this book is they do a lot of culinary and DIY books. And I started looking up, and a lot of the books they do, I've seen in Barnes and Noble, and I was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize they did this. And they sent me books they had done that had been some bestsellers. I went, oh, wow, okay, this is legit, you know. So he even started off, he goes, now, this is not normal. But what had happened was, I guess since coming out of COVID, you know, everybody was staying home and cooking became a hobby because people couldn't travel. And one of the things that was... one of the most, I guess, one of the most popular hobbies was people were learning to bake bread. Mm-hmm. And so it's still popular and people are doing it. But they'd seen a surge in vegan bread. And most bread, if you go to the grocery store, you see is accidentally vegan, you know, like sourdoughs and things like that. But they were wanting to get into a, like an artisan deep dive, like of European breads. So, you know, like, you know, brioche breads and challah breads, things that normally have egg and dairy and lots of butter and things like that. So, but he said, the unusual thing about this book was, is they were not looking for, they were not intentionally looking for me to do a Shane and Simple book. As a matter of fact, the day that I had my first Audible meeting or video meeting, I said, can I just ask you a question? I'm thinking here, my ego's getting stroked. Hey, they came to Shane Martin from Shane and Simple wanting a cookbook done. And I was like, how did you find out about me? And I'm just waiting to hear, oh, I saw it on this site or this site. And he goes, we just went to Pinterest and typed in this type of bread and you popped up. And we thought, well, maybe this guy's, and I was like, my ego went, it was kind of like, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, But he said, we've developed this idea for the book. This is what we want it to be about. It's funded. It's ready to go. We just need the author. And so for so looking at your Pinterest page, you're a bread guy, right? And I'm like, you don't ever tell anybody, no, I can't do that. I just went, yeah, I eat a lot of bread. That was my response. Yeah, I eat tons of bread. So I started talking to him. He was giving more ideas about the book. And basically what they were needing is just an author. It mm-hmm. wasn't that I was doing this on behalf of Shane and Simple. They needed, you know, somebody to step in that could develop the recipes. So we talked for a couple of days. I thought through it. And actually did not tell them no right away. I told them I've got to think on this for a week and or so. And they were totally gracious. Said, yeah, you know, we're kind of running behind, but we kind of like to wait. But this is one of those things where if you say no, somebody else is going to do it because it's a chance to write a book, you know, you know, there's an advantage, like it's a legit thing. And so I started reaching out to other blogger friends. I think I even talked to you, Gigi, about it. One point, because part of me realized if I do this book, they were wanting a minimum of like 65 to 72 recipes. And, you know, included in that could be things like biscuits and pancakes and stuff like that. But what I realized is if I do this, it's going to be mainly a vegan cookbook, not like a whole foods plant-based cookbook. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they were asking for. So the thing that I was wrestling with is if I put my name on it and I come out and I'm telling everybody to eat a whole food plant-based diet, and then they see these recipes with some oils and the vegan butters, how am I going to handle that? And so I reached out to one follower of mine who was a New York Times bestseller and talked to him about it. And he said, look, man, he said, you need to look at this as college tuition, and you're getting a chance to get an education in writing a book. And it's an incredible opportunity. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I never will forget, he said, you know, when you went to school, you didn't agree with everything they taught you, but you were still paying the tuition mm-hmm. and you wrote your papers and you did those things, you know? And so he said, you're going to be doing more good than harm if you do the book, you know, because you're providing something that's removing the animal products and you're doing mm-hmm. stuff like that. And he said, you don't have to promote it as a Shane and Simple book, you know? And he said, if you do well, then you're in a position to go back and say, now I want to do the cookbook I want to do. And I want to put this, the Shane and Simple brand on it and really put mm-hmm. it out there. So my wife and I talked about it and I called him back and I said, okay, I'll do the book. Mm-hmm. And they were gracious. They were like, look, if you have recipes on your blog you want to include that fit this, do it. So there are some, so all that to say, it's a completely bread book. It's about baking it at home in the oven. And I did not realize there were that many types of breads when I started doing research for this. I mean, I thought this is going to be easy. I'm going to cruise. I'll do 10 pancake recipes, you know, and they go, you can't do that. We got legitimate, you know, it's like saying, go to the blackboard and say, I will not talk, or write a 500 essay and you cannot go. The little creek went drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, one pancake recipe, one biscuit recipe, you know, but we need breads. So there is everything from vegan challah bread, Swiss braided. I had to learn how to braid bread. I had never done that before. The favorite one was the Japanese milk bread that we had to veganize. And I ate so much of that, I literally got sick. It was unbelievable. Like, you know, cause I had to test it to make sure it was going to be good. Right. So anyway, started on, and everything started out good. Got the first few ideas of the manuscript handed in, and they were really good at guiding me through and everything. But because time management and administration is not my gift, the book was supposed to be done June 21st is when I was supposed to have the manuscript in. And then like 2 weeks in after we got the author contracts done, the creative director had gone to the blog and said, hey, they were going to hire a food photographer from Southern Living magazine in Birmingham because that was the closest one in the region. So basically what I would do is develop recipes, send them the recipe, they make it and shoot it. They go to the website and they see, oh, you take your own photographs. Why don't we just hire you to be your own photographer? So I got hired by the creative department to do my own photography. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great. Well, I develop all the recipes. Everything's good. And instead of making a recipe and shooting it, I don't think that way. I make all the recipes and then I got to go back and make them all again and shoot. And so I think I ended up just turning the last photograph in 3 weeks ago or something like that. So okay. It about killed me. I mean, I was staying up all night, pulling all nighter shooting, but all that to say, it's a bread book, and I feel like it turned out great. I had the girls in the kitchen helping me. We were under time crunch. They were making the recipes. My wife took a day off from her graphic design and stayed in the kitchen for 10, 12 hours one day baking. Like,
wow.
And so it became a lot of fun. It was almost like a family affair. And so kind of goes back to those when in the stressful moments, you know, taking stock of the, you know, the happy moments. And so that was really cool. But there is, like I said, you know, your typical artisan breads, sourdough, no knead breads. There is a sour cream and chive bread that was really good. You know, there's pancakes, banana bread, zucchini breads. Probably my favorite one, though, that I developed was an island pineapple coconut bread.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
Y'all, the smell of the house, I can still smell it. It was that good. Like, that was the one where, you know, and being a food blogger, when I'm making things and the family smells things, are like, can we eat that now? I'm like, no, you can't touch it. It's got to, you know, I'm not done. And that was one of those breads I had made. And of course, I can't really move it until it completely cools down because I need to be able to, you know, move it and stage it and everything. And you want to let it cool down because you don't want it falling apart and it's so moist and all this. So they're just smelling the house in this bread. And so finally, after, I remember the day I got it shot, and the girls came in and saw it sitting on the counter. They're like, can we have it now? He's like, yeah, it was gone in a matter of literally like 20 minutes. They come in from soccer practice. All three of the girls at home just demolished it, you know, but there's naan bread. There is English muffins. I mean,
do you have croissants?
You know, it's the one thing I didn't do. I tried doing the croissants and even using some of the vegan butters and the stuff. I just did not have the hand for it. I tried and I didn't like the way it turned out. And so, I had this idea. I was going to do chocolate croissants, you know, chocolate filled croissants, but yeah. I just could not get it, you know. Croissants are kind of like biscuits, you know, you got to cut in and you got to do this. And I just couldn't make it work. And I was like, yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would have said they were about a 4.5 or a 5. And yeah. I couldn't put mediocrity in there, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of breads, but all that to say, I need to preface it with, I would appreciate everyone buying it when it comes out and giving it to people as a gift and even keeping it. But I do want to let everybody know this is not a whole foods plant-based bread book. So there are some oils, there's some vegan butters, there's some vegan cheeses in it. Some of the cheeses I've made with nuts and things like that. There's some store-bought, but I kind of took the Dr. McDougall. You know, he said, have some birthday cake on your birthday. Just don't make every day your birthday. You know,
right, it's once a year. Right.
So I would say if you're, especially for people trying to find an entry into eating a plant-based diet, you know, this is a great way if you want to make something special for, like, if you have, you know, people who are Jewish that love challah bread, you know, it usually has eggs. It's a very eggy bread. So if they're looking for something for their families and they're trying to eliminate dairy from their diets, you know, I feel like, and somebody told me this, they say, even if it's not a whole food vegan, people that have dairy allergies are going to benefit from something like this. You know, so again, it's that idea of, are we going to preach to the choir? Are we going to try to reach the masses kind of thing, you know? And so that's kind of how I looked at it, but I will tell you, it was one of the hardest things I have ever done as far as my occupationally of since being a blogger. And a lot of that was because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. So
But I'm sure you learned a ton. I'm sure you learned a ton of the process.
I learned a ton of what not to do and how to do it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, the second one's coming up, so you'll be able to be ready for that.
I mean, it was like the minute I sent the last photo, in, and the next day I woke up. And I got emails from the editor and the creative director. And they go, Shane, these are great. Thank you so much. And then immediately he goes, okay, let's talk about the next book. And I'm sitting here going, oh, Lord, I can't even think about this right now. So,
you need a break. You need a little break in between. Yeah.
You know, it was funny. I remember sending that last photo at like 1:30 in the morning. Like I was done. And I don't recommend this. I mean, a few weeks leading up to this, I was working 2 and 3 nights in a row till 4:30 in the morning, sleeping a couple hours, getting up, and you know, and I ended up getting like physically sick because I wasn't sleeping enough. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to recover. And when I shot that last photo and I finished editing it like 1:30 in the morning and I uploaded it and I let them know, hey, it's there. So next day, Thursday, that was like Wednesday morning, you know, Thursday morning, late Wednesday night. And I don't hear anything on Thursday. And I'm thinking, oh no, they hated it. It's not good. Then Friday morning is when they responded. They said, hey, Shane, looks great. Thank you so much. Blah, 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 blah. Then that afternoon, Dan, the editor, he called back. He said, okay, the money on the table is for the next one. And it's a bread book, but it's using a bread machine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I want to be the bread guy? You know, it's like and so I said, well, let's talk about it, you know? And so but when they said, yeah, it's great. And I saw that, I got tickets to the Mississippi State football game and one of my daughters had never been. And I said, I told my wife, I said, if it's okay with you, I'm going to take her to the football game. And one of my oldest daughter just graduated. She still lives down there. She works for the Parks and Rec. And then my son has a house with a couple of guys. So I took one of my daughters. She stayed with my oldest daughter and I stayed with my son. And I told my wife, I came back Sunday night and I was like, I said, I honestly feel like I had a vacation because I'd had this hanging over me since April and May, you know, just trying the urgency and the burden to get it done. And I was like, oh, I was done. And then it hit me, and talk about being a man and shedding your tears. Monday morning, my wife and I were having our coffee and I just kind of started tearing up and she goes, you okay? And I said, babe, I wrote a book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I think I just started crying because I was so exhausted, mm-hmm. you know, that relief of, you know, it's done, it's in the can and it's, I'm going to be able to walk in Barnes and Noble and see this thing. And mm-hmm. yes, I would love for it to sell, but I don't know. There's a part of me that you can just go, yeah, I'm fine. I mean, you know, it's just so, but that quickly dissipated when that email came up. Okay, let's talk about the next one. I was like, oh man, let me enjoy the moment, please.
Wow. What an amazing journey you've been on, you know, just by making that one decision to change your health, to the blog, to creating the book, to the changes in your family, to, it's been an amazing journey. It's been so interesting hearing all about it. Tell us, Shane, tell us about the book, the name of the book, but also where can people find you on your blog and get all your wonderful whole food plant-based recipes and all that other stuff?
Sure. So again, the name of the book is going to be called Baking Vegan Bread at Home. It's mm-hmm. a very good book for like a DIYer. It's going to be a great gift, Mother's Day. It'll be out March of 2024. So, and you'll be able to buy it at Amazon and I think really any bookstores that you're close to, but it'll be called Baking Vegan Bread at Home. Now, as far as, I tell people, you know, the best place to go for the web, for the recipes are shaneandsimple.com. Mm-hmm. It's free. There's no charge. The recipes are free. You can subscribe and what that does, there is no charge for that. You just get the newsletter and the updates when recipes come out. And sometimes I'll actually send recipes to subscribers that aren't on the blog that, you know, I may be just working on and say, hey, y'all take this and tell me what you think. I'd love to hear from you, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way to get everything. But I also tell people, when you're pursuing this lifestyle, community is important. You need people around you. And a lot of times you're not going to have a lot of support, even with those that you are in contact with on a daily basis, because there are some people who's like, no, I'm cool doing what I do right now. So there's the Shane and Simple page at Facebook. It's Shane and Simple Cooking. That's where I just post everything. We'll throw things out there. And that's just me kind of guiding everything. And, you know, I control what goes on there. But there are two other options. There's a Shane and Simple group on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And that is really about the community aspect of it. And what I love about that page is people ask questions. I moderate it very little, except if I get a warning, like, or people are advertising for products they're trying to sell, or, you know, something, just people are just being turds, you know, like wanting to start fights all the time. Can we say turds on here? I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not the most fine person. When people want to be poopy heads, and, you know, and so, but it really, to see the way people connect with one another, and people say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. And just to see people come along, it really, somebody told me the other day, they said, Shane, we see bloggers and their Facebook pages really are just, they're putting things out there, they're sharing the recipes. But they said, when I see the way people respond to you or to one another, it really feels like a community. And I was like, that is really what we're trying to create. So the group is a great place to go just to get support, to ask questions. I do jump in and respond and provide links and things like that. But, you know, it's so good, because there's a lot of times people ask questions and they're not even asking me. They're asking one another. And so I'll just make sure everything's kind of staying on the rails. But it's just so it's really has turned into a community. And I think there's probably like 10,000 members over on that one. But it just really, it's really encouraging to see that. So that's a great place to go. And then there is actually a Facebook subscriber, Shane and Simple, where you actually pay, I think it's like $4.99 a month. It's still kind of in the jumping off point, but it's going to be a place where I'm going to be posting a video every other day, cooking demos. That's kind of, and you will need to pay to get access to that. But that being said, the Shane and Simple fan page on Facebook and the group are really two great places to go to get info. But again, the website, shaneandsimple.com, is where everything resides. Awesome. So, and there's a Pinterest page too. So.
Awesome.
Great. Well, Shane, thank you so much. It's always so much fun talking to you. We've had you on Cook and Chat a few times, and it's always just a treat for us to interact with you. And so we're just so grateful for your time.
Well, I am so honored that y'all asked me to be on here. And Cersei, we have got to figure out something to where the three of us at some point are in the same room together.
I know, yeah. Right?
That has to happen over the course of the next year or something.
Yeah, just, it will happen. Yeah.
It has to happen. But yeah, thank y'all, because Gigi, you know I love you. And just, again, we talk about it every time, but it's been one of those friendships that just connected, and it just is a pickup where we left off. And Cersei, it's crazy just getting to know you through Gigi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was talking to one of the speakers at the Healthy for a Lifetime conference in Omaha I was at. Mm-hmm. And she's an athlete. Ella, just, she does Crazy Sexy Vegan over at Instagram. Just, you know.
Oh, Ella. Yeah, we know Ella. Yeah.
Yeah. So got to meet her, and we were having dinner Friday night, and she had been doing a podcast for like 10 years with her co-host and had never met her face to face. And that they were friends just kind of over Zoom, and she said, I'm so excited. But she goes, but it's like, we're like close friends, and you know, and I said, I know exactly what you mean. And so I kind of feel like that way with you, Cersei, like with the cooking chats and getting to know you through Gigi. It's almost, I feel like when we do sit down at the same table, I don't know that I mean, there's always something great about the physical connection.
Yeah, you know? But there's already a connection before the connection.
The emotional and the intellectual connection. Yeah. So, but yeah, that has to happen at some point. But yeah, again, all that to say, thank y'all so much. I love seeing what is going on with y'all. Like the way things are growing, and it just seems like things are taking off. And then, I mean, y'all were on the. I thought it was so cool. Both of us got to be a part of Plant Stock.
Yeah, we were in the same room, but online. So hopefully that will happen in person sometime.
And y'all were on Rip's podcast. I heard that. That was awesome. I told Andre, I said, it's just great to see the people that I give advice to succeed like this. I keyed. So.
You need to press that button. All right, there we go. That's better.
Oh, me. No, thank y'all, though. This has been a pleasure. It's always good. Love what you're doing and love y'all. I mean, just
The feeling is mutual. We love you too, Shane, and everything you're doing. We're just all over it. So thank you again. And until next time.
Thank you for joining us on the Healthy for My Purpose podcast. We hope you enjoyed the community and are walking away empowered and encouraged to live your healthiest life for your God-ordained purpose. You can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram to enjoy fellowship with like-minded women. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this on iTunes. Until we meet again, keep honoring your body for your purpose.